So welcome, everybody. This is Margaret Lynch, and this is the first class in the June boot camp. So we're going to move pretty quickly in this class. We have a lot to cover. The foundational call that you can get as part of this program is where I explain all five of the profiles, the life purpose profiles that are developed by Rees Thomas in the Institute of Energy Medicine. And I talk about each side of the profile, the dark side and the light side. So the profiles really are a perfect fit with the Debbie Ford shadow work because each profile has a shadow side. And by the way, the shadow side, as bad as it might sound, is actually what gives you a lot of your power when you come into your light with it. So this class is, we start out the beginning of the month with your immediate vibration about money, recognizing what it is, because law of attraction wise, this is a really key first element. It's your immediate vibration about money. So we're going to look at that, and we're also going to look at the what we call the first chakra issues around money, which is your family's money paradigm. Okay, so to get started, what I want everyone to do is to write down what their income is, what they're earning right now, as wonderful or horrible as it may be. And you can put it on a monthly basis, a weekly basis. I prefer to have it short term, like a month or a week, because it seems to trigger us a little bit more when we look at it on a monthly basis. So I want you to write that number down and take a look at it. And since you're muted, you could even say out loud, I earn blank.
I earn $560 a week. Okay.
And so just tuning into that number, I want you to notice how you're feeling already, what's going on in your body, what's going on in your feelings. And if there's a thought in your head cropping up that's saying, it's not enough. Okay, how many people are feeling, it's not enough? So I want you to say that out loud, it's not enough.
It's not enough.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how true does that feel?
20.
Okay. And so when it feels really true, I think I heard some high numbers in there. When it feels true, what's the feeling when you say it's not enough and it feels true? So if you want to star 6 and unmute and give me a little bit of feedback, that's where we're going to start tapping.
Yeah. It's a little scary.
Okay. And so how high would the fear be? If it's fear, what is it? Is it an 8? Is it a 6?
Yeah, 8.
Okay. Anybody else?
Depressed.
Okay.
Pit in the stomach.
Okay. And so if that pit in the stomach could talk, what would it say?
10.
Okay. What would it say? If you could put a voice to that 10 in your stomach, what would it say? That pit.
Margaret, my pit in my stomach, I get the pit in the stomach too, but I get the feeling like it's only temporary.
Okay.
I agree. Yeah, I agree on that.
And so what would the negative side of that be? If the brain goes, but it's only temporary, what would the pit say? Because the pit is the negative side. With tapping, we're actually looking to clear out the negative side first.
It says you suck.
And it's never going to change.
Hopeless, totally hopeless.
Yeah, what if I can't do better?
Disappointment.
Okay.
That's where I can change it.
Shame.
Okay. So we've got a pretty good list here. So I want you to think about the law of attraction for a second. Your income represents the largest stream of money coming into your life. And when you think about it, the feeling is depressed. You suck. It's never going to change. What if? Hopeless. Disappointment. Shame. Okay, so when we think about the law of attraction, what kind of a vibrational energy is that for attracting more money?
Not so good.
Kind of just a slight problem that we have there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why it's really important. You know, we talk a lot about abundance, and we talk a lot about being positive and the prosperity and the energy, which is fantastic. The other side, but what I do and what tapping is and the shadow work is looking at really being honest about the negative that's there so that we can actually clear that. Okay, when we clear it, all the positive stuff that we already do so well is supercharged. Okay, so it's uncomfortable to sit in this yucky feeling and look at our income and go, oh my God, it's not enough. It's an uncomfortable moment, but we're bringing presence to it. Okay, so I want everyone to star 6 and mute. And we're going to start tapping. And I'm here with Deb Carter, who is my fantastic practitioner, is the only other person on the planet who tapped on money more than me because she taps with me constantly in these classes. And so we're going to start tapping, and we're going to start with karate chop point. And then after that, I usually say tapping through the points, and that allows you to just tap through any points you like to tap through. So I don't lead you through the exact points, but I typically use the eyebrow point, the side of the eye, the under the eye, under the nose point, the chin point, karate chop point, a collarbone point, under the arm, and the top of the head. So, but you can tap through. There's people who like to use the wrist points and the fingertip points. I have people tapping on their ankles sometimes. So whatever points you like to use. Okay, so to start out, I just want to tune right back in to that income number and saying, again, it's not enough. So we can really feel that. And I do hear it. There's a few people who haven't quite muted on the line, so... So karate chop point, even though the truth is, I try to be positive, but this number is just not enough, and I really feel that, right in my stomach, it's depressing, it's scary, It's hopeless. And I'm really disappointed. I totally honor all these real feelings. And I'm so open to healing them. Because this is a conflict. Even though this money just isn't enough. I'm going to accept all my crappy feelings about that. This hopeless feeling. This deep shame. Shouldn't I be ashamed? All my disappointment. And all my fear. Oh my God. What if it never changes? I'm really feeling the pain of money. Even though my money just isn't enough. I'm just not earning enough. And that is the truth. I honor who I am anyway. And all this heavy emotion about money. It feels so disappointing. Depressing. Depressing. It's a battle. And tapping through the points, this feeling in my stomach. Oh, I don't want to look at this. My income just isn't enough. I try to be positive. I've been being positive for years.
I've been being positive for years.
And it's still not enough.
And it's still not enough.
It hasn't ever been enough.
It hasn't ever been enough.
It's really scary.
It's really scary.
It feels hopeless.
It feels hopeless.
Disappointing.
Disappointing.
And shameful.
And shameful.
It's just not enough.
It's just not enough.
Panic.
Panic.
Fear.
Fear.
Depression.
Depression.
Anger.
Anger.
Every time I think about money.
Every time I think about money.
Every time I see my income.
Every time I see my income.
It's really hard to be grateful.
It's really hard to be grateful.
When I feel so bad.
When I feel so bad.
It's just not enough.
It's just not enough.
Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And so in voicing some of these real negatives that are there, some of the real feelings, it's kind of hard. It's not fun to look at these negative emotions, but we bring presence to them, and what tapping does is lighten them up. So even though we're only saying the negative, it lightens up. So I want you to look at that income number again and say the same thing, it's just not enough.
It's just not enough.
And notice how does it feel now when you look at that same number? If you're try to be really positive all the time, that first round of tapping can sometimes make it worse because you've really voiced it. And so are we feeling a little bit lighter or are we feeling worse?
A little bit lighter.
Worse.
Okay. And so what's in the worst? What's the feeling now as we voice all of that? What's the feeling?
Feeling.
Mine makes it real. It makes it real.
So what's different about it being real? What gets worse?
Just more fear.
Okay. And so more fear. Anyone getting anger?
Yeah.
It's okay. Traveling up my spine. It's moving. I feel it worse. Overwhelming.
Okay. And what is the feeling? What's the feeling for you that's going up your spine?
Anger.
Okay. So sometimes once we start to really voice it, now we see some of the anger that's underneath it or the deeper fear, or sometimes we start to see the real self-judgment coming up. So is anyone starting to blame themselves as we did that round? Instead of getting angry, they're actually getting, it's probably all my fault.
I feel like this irritation with myself, irritation with my choices.
Okay. So
the anger
so I wanted,
is at myself.
Okay. And so as we look at the profiles, if you are an achiever, you're going to be angry at yourself because the way you go into defense is to start self-criticizing. It's all my fault. I probably did something wrong. How come I keep screwing up? And those kind of thoughts. When you go there, you're basically saying to the law of attraction to the universe, I pretty much deserve this. So I want you to really make that connection. The second you start blaming yourself, you're saying, I deserve this. Okay, for my charismatic leader people, you're going to get more anger triggered.
Margaret, okay. I went from sadness a while back, and then I went to now I'm at anger, and there's a little more hope, which I find an interesting pattern.
Yeah, because on the other side of this anger and disappointment is empowerment. That's where we're heading. Believe it or not, we just have to go through the anger and disappointment first, okay? This is where all your power is in these emotions, but when they're stuck in the negative, they don't really give us the power that we need, okay?
Margaret?
So, yes.
Margaret, that last comment you made is so true because, Charlene, in case you don't know, I always feel that I'll try to keep it positive, and I think that's why my pit in the stomach always comes back to saying it's temporary. But when you said, yeah, but what's the negative, the thought that came to me is fear that I don't know how long it's going to stay in that temporary status. So I don't know if that, like, sheds any light or if there's anything that says, all right, well, I'm kind of, like, still in the disappointment, but I am on the hope. Like, am I on the cusp of it?
Yeah, it's recognizing that there is another fear going on, right, that says, I got to figure this out. How long is this going to happen? I got to know what's going on here. Right? So you've got, it's basically showing you've got more fear there. So in your vibration around money, we've got the positive things that we're doing and we're saying, and we've got all these little negatives in there. So as we really clear out, you know, as when you think about money triggering fear, that vibration creates more unknown, more fear when it comes to money. So before we do another round, what I want everyone to do right now is travel back through time until you are maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and you're standing in your home, and your parents or your caretakers are there, and they are talking or dealing with money. They're talking about it. They're dealing with it. How similar are the feelings in them as to what you're feeling right now?
Similar, because I'm getting unknown.
So this is your family's money paradigm, which is your first chakra issue around money. Your programming about money that comes from your family. And so once we kind of do this round and we kind of turn up some of these bad feelings, it's often a really good point to go, oh my God, that's exactly how my parents talked about money.
Okay, you know,
was there disappointment? Was there shame? Was there hopelessness? Was there, you know, it's never going to change. What if it never changes? Did they see scarcity? Did they live in scarcity?
This is so interesting, Margaret, because of the age you gave, because my parents were eventually they made lots of money, but when I was 6, they didn't, and they were in scarcity, and my father was gone, and my mother was furious, and she hated that she had to work, and so I think that's the paradigm that I took on.
And that's why I gave you the age, because that's the age when your lower chakras are kind of being developed.
Yeah.
That's the age when you're in waking hypnosis all the time, downloading everything you see and feel. So if you have a connection way down in that first chakra, or you can think of it way down in that level of your subconscious mind, that says money equals anger, you will always get rid of your money. If you have a connection that says there is scarcity, it's real, the supplies are going to run out, you're always going to connect money with fear, right? These are the people that I say, imagine that you have $10,000 in the bank, and the first thing they come up with is, I'm anxious, I'm going to lose it. Let's go to $20,000. Now it'll be worse if I lose it, because I'll be an idiot. So this is really important to make this connection right now, right, that you see how you're connecting your money to your family's money paradigm. Okay, so we're going to do another round of tapping. And I want you to imagine that you're in this picture with your parents, and we're going to be tapping for the three of you, okay, or the two of you, depending if you had one parent or two, okay? So we're just going to start by tapping right through the points. We don't even use karate chop point, okay? And so tapping through the points, panic and fear around money.
Panic and fear around money.
I learned this from my family.
I learned this from my family.
Anger in fighting about money.
Anger in fighting about money.
Boy, does this sound just like my family's paradigm.
Boy, does this sound just like my family's paradigm.
Never-ending cycle of scarcity.
Never-ending cycle of scarcity.
And the fear that comes with it.
And the fear that comes with it.
We totally believed in scarcity.
We totally believed in scarcity.
Scarcity was real in our family. And my parents lived in it. Fear about money. Anger about money. Hopelessness about money. Disappointment over and over. Disappointment about money. All of this programmed. All the way down in my first chakra. All the way down in my subconscious mind. I am so open to healing this. My family's money paradigm. And all the ways I'm carrying it. I'm so open to healing this. For my highest good. Fear about money. Depression about money. Hopelessness and loss about money. Shame and disappointment connected to money. Anger and fighting connected to money. I totally honor that that was their way. And I'm open to releasing this. So I can create my reality. In my present moments. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And I want you to actually picture your parents again and see if the picture's changed. Sometimes the picture will change a little bit. And I want you to note down if there's something really specific and loud in that picture, really emotional, really triggering for you, that's something that you're going to want to do some more tapping on. Okay, if there was something a little more traumatic came up, something that's really loud and vivid, you want to note that down to clear that with a little more tapping specifically about it.
Margaret?
Yes.
What's very specific when you said age six again, which is funny, is I, up until 8 years old, I lived with my great-grandmother and my great-aunt, and my whole family sort of chipped in to help my father take care of us. And what just keeps coming up for me, and I haven't been able to clear it, is that we're not able to take care of ourselves. We need other people to do it for us when it comes to financial. And I've tried to tap on this and clear this, and it just seems to still be showing up.
Do you know what your profile is?
I'm going to guess Achiever just by what you said earlier, but I haven't been exposed to the other four.
Okay. Because it'll be different with different profiles, but the other part of it can be is loyalty to your dad. Okay. When we had a parent, and so I want everyone to think about this side of it, with our family's money paradigm can go one of two ways typically. We either saw our parents as working really hard and getting a really raw deal and never getting ahead, and feel, often tapping on it, people will feel a lot of sadness about what their parents had to go through and what they had to go through because there wasn't enough. Okay, so when there's that sadness there, if you have the charismatic leader enforcer quality, what you will do is you, out of loyalty to your family, you will self-sabotage around money to prove your point that it wasn't fair to your family. Okay, I know it doesn't sound logical, but that's what I find.
That resonates.
If, hey, like, you know what, my father got a raw deal and it's not freaking fair, and I am going to scream that at the universe for the rest of my life because it wasn't fair. And so that evidence has to show up in my life. See, look at my life. Same thing's happening to me. Okay. The other side of it is when we had a parent who we say consciously, I will never be like them. I will never be like that. I will never be scrimping and saving, or I'll never be a miser, or I'll never be all focused on money and fighting about it. So I'm never going to fill in the blank, deal with money. I'm never going to prioritize money. Okay, so we're either loyalty to our family or we're battling against our family's paradigm, either way, it's defining us. It's programmed in at the first chakra level, which is our most basic level. So when we come up to our self-image, in the second chakra, it's who I am. This is who I am around money. This is how I come into relationship with money. Already programmed in at the lowest level. Okay, so when the commitment for this week, the milestone for this week is for you all to commit to seeing this, seeing and releasing your battle against or loyalty to your family's money paradigm. Okay, we don't get that done in 10 minutes. It's something I want you to think about and process on. So the specific tapping I'm going to give you is to go to my YouTube videos, and there's two YouTubes about your money paradigm that you can tap through. And I'm also going to ask you to write your own new money paradigm, because if that was their way, when you let that go, you need to define your way. You get to create your own paradigm. Okay, it's your life purpose to surpass what your parents did. Okay, so is everyone seeing that there?
Margaret?
Yes.
I have a different aspect when it comes to the parents. I mean, they worked hard, but and they made lots of money. But I shouldn't, when I ask for it, I was made like to feel guilty. So they have money, but I shouldn't ask for it.
Well, and they also used money as control. Right, so there's a big connection, which money is a control, as part of how we control. And so they used money as a control, too. So there's some unworthiness about asking, but there's also like, if you ask and we give you this money, we got you. And I run in this to this with a lot of people who were raised wealthy, where they had to sell out. Like they if they took that money, which was easy from their parents, the parents had all the control. You got to do what we
want. That's very true with my mother. Like, she would tell me, okay, I want you to do this, and
yeah.
She would tie it.
So, as a charismatic leader enforcer, you want to look at where you go into battle with money about power and control, and you can't make me. Okay? So
what a new paradigm would be?
The new paradigm would be you'd want to open up to something that feels, that doesn't have a battle in it, that's a more spiritual connection, a more win-win, a more in service of mankind paradigm about money. Okay, but you have to come up with your own paradigm. I can't come up with your paradigm. Okay, so
Margaret,
yes, go ahead.
I have a quick question also, a little bit different. But parents had money. I got money. I didn't get the love that I needed.
Okay. Yeah, and so you have a battle with money.
Yep.
Because money was the poor substitute. So that means you're going to have a love-hate with it. Okay.
Okay.
So I want you to kind of come back to your own income number where we started and say it's just not enough.
Right.
And I want everyone to see where that is now. How intense is it now? Because it's still true, right? Still not enough.
For me, it's gone down to about a 5.
Okay. So the other commitment this week is, on a daily basis until next week, is to tap about your specific vibration about money. So you wake up tomorrow, look at your income, look at your bills, triggered, tap again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because what we want money to mean to you is this is just how it is right now. If that number isn't enough, that becomes motivation, drive. I'm so killing it now because I'm on a mission. As opposed to fear, shame, hopelessness. Okay. So this is where we shift that vibration around money. So I just want to check in. What's in those 5s? Because we still have a number there. What's left in there? Is anyone coming up with some self-judgment?
What is it self-judgment if you're just looking at it and saying it's just the truth? And that's just how it is.
Well, what does that mean about you? It sounds good, but is there a, it's just the truth, and so is there, that means I'm something? That's what we want, is that consciousness of this is the present moment. This is what it is right now. Because your money situation right now is a result of what, how you've been thinking and feeling and doing up until now, which can change instantaneously when you change. Okay, so what else is left in there? I want everyone to think about their own deserving.
So for me, what's left in there is that I somehow, I felt I should have been able to do something about it. Because when my dad left, he said, you be a big girl and take care of your mom.
Okay. So is it, this is my fault, or I should have done better, I should have done
better? Yeah.
So there's the self-judgment. Whenever you're saying, I should have, I should have known better, I should have done better, that's the achiever, rule keeper, self-judgment. And again, as soon as you say, I should have known better, done more, your vibration is, I'm getting exactly what I deserve right now. I actually don't deserve anything.
Yeah.
Because you should have done better.
Yep.
Okay.
So Margaret?
Coming up for me, Margaret.
Does that resonate? Is that what you said?
Is it guilt? A lot of guilt.
We're gonna do another round of tapping on some of this judgment and guilt. Okay? Because what we're doing right now is we kind of go up in our head and we start making judgments about it, which basically get us stuck. Okay? Because how does it feel when you think those thoughts of I should have done better and guilt? How does it feel in your body when you think about that?
Heavy.
Not very good. That's your emotional guidance system that Abraham Hicks talks about, telling you the thought that you're thinking right now, not a good vibration. Not actually the truth of you. Okay. So everyone can star six and mute, karate chop point. And remember that I'm the person that loves to go over the top sometimes with tapping, okay? So karate chop point, even though my income isn't enough, I totally blame myself. I'm a loser. That's what my income means. I should have been able to fix this. I should be doing better. Clearly, I haven't done enough. And I'm going to love and accept myself. As totally unacceptable. Even though. My income is just not enough. And I know what that means. It's all on me. I should have done it better. I should be doing it right. I'm totally missing something. I'm failing. I honor who I am anyway. Even though this income right here on my paper means only one thing. I'm screwing up. I'm failing. This number defines me. I accept who I am anyway. Even though I really don't. Because I should have done it better. Tapping through the points. All this heavy self-judgment. I should have done it better. I keep screwing up. I must be missing something. Oh my God, I gotta figure this out. This number means I'm losing. I'm failing. I'm not doing it right. It's so heavy. I feel all the guilt.
I feel all the guilt.
So stupid.
So stupid.
It's so embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
If people knew what I earned.
If people knew what I earned.
I would be humiliated.
I would be humiliated.
It's all me.
It's all me.
It's gotta be.
It's gotta be.
I'm doing it wrong.
I'm doing it wrong.
And every time I think that thought.
And every time I think that thought.
I tell the universe.
I tell the universe.
I don't deserve.
I don't deserve.
And it feels so heavy.
And it feels so heavy.
That I get stuck.
That I get stuck.
In my view of abundance.
In my view of abundance.
And possibility.
And possibility.
Shrinks down small.
Shrinks down small.
Should have done it better.
Should have done it better.
All my fault.
All my fault.
I'm failing.
I'm failing.
Every time I think those thoughts.
Every time I think those thoughts.
I contract.
I contract.
I get stuck.
I get stuck.
I push myself lower.
I push myself lower.
I push my deserving lower.
I push my deserving lower.
All these self-judgmental thoughts.
All these self-judgmental thoughts.
I'm open to seeing them for what they are.
I'm open to seeing them for what they are.
Thoughts running in my head.
Thoughts running in my head.
Habitual thoughts running in my head.
Habitual thoughts running in my head.
I'm just going to be open to the idea.
I'm just going to be open to the idea.
That I've always done my best.
That I've always done my best.
And I actually deserve right now.
And I actually deserve right now.
That would feel really different.
That would feel really different.
Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And so how did that feel, tapping on all that real negative self-judgment? And by the way, none of those were feelings. Those were all thoughts.
Right on.
That what goes
well, I just got so much lighter.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Like this big weight just lifted off of me and my body started vibrating outward.
Yeah, so you just felt the energy go from contracted to expanded.
Yeah.
When we're in our power, when we're in our core, we're expanding. And in this moment, when you feel expanding, how much more do you believe right now about infinite possibility?
Oh, everything more.
So when we go to judgment, which is what the achiever rule keepers do, it's your go-to way of going into defense. And I know I have a lot of achievers on the line and a lot of charismatic leaders who also have achievers in there. When you go into self-judgment, what you're doing is taking a rigid view of perfection and saying, this is the way it should be, and it didn't go that way, so it's got to be my fault. Okay? When you're in your power, like when you're talking to other people, your gift is to see the big picture and see that there's divinity in every situation and that this situation that you're in right now with your money is completely new. This has never been like anything else. And in this present moment, infinite possibility exists if you're present in the present moment instead of going to a pattern in your head where thoughts spin around and you say, this is exactly what happened before, I screwed up, I should have known better. Okay, so I should have done it, I should have known better. All that is looking at the past.
Uh-oh.
So, any more feedback? How did that round feel?
Very true. Very true.
Okay. So the other part of today's class was the aha moment is connecting how you connect money to your self-worth. So, everything we just tapped on is I am basically a piece of crap. I actually don't deserve. So becoming aware of how many times those thoughts go through your head show you exactly what you're vibrating around, you're deserving. Okay? The universe is always listening to your vibration. Is everyone getting that?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me heighten my awareness of of what I was doing.
So I want everyone to look at their money again and say it's not enough. What's the feeling in it now?
It seems temporary.
Okay.
For me, it's like just a, it's like, okay, it's a foundation, and then to attract everything else.
And so again, when we go to those other, the negative feelings, that's when we kind of get stuck. Right? So imagine going to a business meeting in with an eight of a pit in your stomach to market your business.
Mm-hmm.
How you're feeling right now. And somebody says, hey, what do you do for a living? Hey, what kind of services do you offer? And you're like, So how much better would you be in this vibration?
Yeah.
So before we switch to the real, we're going to do a major positive round at the end. I just want to check in with some of my charismatic leader people who might be having still some anger. So I want everyone to say, it's looking at your income. I want you to tune into a totally different feeling about it and say, it's not fair. And how true does that feel? You know, like, I'm working really hard, and it's just not fair. How true does that feel?
Seven.
Okay.
Yeah, there's definitely some, like, I've done all of this, and I have nothing to show for it.
Okay. And so what we're going to do now is some tapping on the anger. My achievers, typically, their anger comes and they go right back to judging themselves. It actually is my fault. I'm not really angry. I'm just judging myself. But with my some of the other, like, charismatic leaders and the emotional intelligence specialists will get more. So we're going to. I'm getting a lot of noise, so I need someone to fix there. Okay. Crackling paper. Anger always means one thing. Well, it means two things. But the first thing it means is something doesn't feel fair. So I know as a practitioner, if I make someone say, that's not fair, and that feels true, there's anger in there. Okay? But anger also means you're in a place of disempowerment. So by tapping on anger really honestly, like we're about to do, it'll lighten up the anger faster, and you'll feel not only empowered, but you'll have access to all the energy, because anger is the other side of passion. Okay? Down in your body, energy, passion. So anger is an extremely important emotion to find and tap on. Okay? So everyone can star six and mute, and we'll do a round on anger. Okay? So karate chop point. Even though the truth is, I am pissed. This sucks. It's not fair. I'm working so hard. And I'm getting nothing. I'm just going to honor my anger. It feels really justified. Even though my income isn't enough. And I'm trying to be positive. I'm actually really angry. What the hell? How much harder do I have to work? There's just not enough coming in. And it sucks. And I'm angry. And it's really unfair. I totally honor this anger. This rage. I could kill somebody. It's so not fair. And I see other people making more. And they're not half as good as me. There, I said it. I'm just going to honor my anger. Totally justified anger. and tapping through the points, I'm really angry.
I'm really angry.
And I've been angry for a long time.
And I've been angry for a long time.
And I try to hold it at bay.
And I try to hold it at bay.
And be positive.
And be positive.
Nobody likes my anger.
Nobody likes my anger.
But it's really unfair.
But it's really unfair.
I feel like I'm fighting a battle.
I feel like I'm fighting a battle.
And I'm losing.
And I'm losing.
And I hate losing.
And I hate losing.
And I'm doing so many things right.
And I'm doing so many things right.
It's infuriating.
It's infuriating.
It's unfair.
It's unfair.
It's just not right.
It's just not right.
It's just not happening.
It's just not happening.
And I'm really, really angry.
And I'm really, really angry.
I totally honor my anger.
I totally honor my anger.
And all the passion and desire behind it.
And all the passion and desire behind it.
I really want this.
I really want this.
There's a lot of passion and desire.
There's a lot of passion and desire.
Bottled up behind my anger.
Bottled up behind my anger.
I'm just going to totally honor it.
I'm just going to totally honor it.
And let that energy move through me.
And let that energy move through me.
I totally honor my anger and rage.
I totally honor my anger and rage.
And all of me.
And all of me.
Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And so if you have a charismatic leader, enforcer, as your profile, you could do that every single day, and it will feel great. And so for my people who were pretty angry, how did that feel?
Margaret, Cherie, that was amazing. What came up for me was all of the jobs and times that I've worked, and I just felt all my body just shifting and letting go. I had no idea I even had that going on. It was amazing.
Yeah, and so with the shadow work, if anyone is reading the Debbie Ford shadow work, what we do when the anger comes down a little bit, you know, we voice it, we honor it, and it's a little different than just saying, oh, geez, I got to get rid of this anger. It's saying, I honor it, okay? So now that it's a little bit lower, the question I want you guys to think about, I want you to write something down right now. What is that anger calling you to do? It's calling you to do something in the present moment. What is that anger calling you to? And I want you to recognize the part of you that would be called your angry part that says, it's not fair that I'm making this much money. That's the part that has no doubt at all that you deserve more. That's why it's so angry. So anger is like it comes up and it honors your deserving. It says, you know what? I deserve freaking better. So in a way, feeling real anger in the present moment is 100 times better than going up into your head into a thought pattern of self-judgment. Self-judgment says, I don't deserve anything. Anger says, I freaking deserve better. Okay, so anger gets kind of a bad rap. By tapping on it, you're not going to get more angry. You're actually going to feel more empowered.
Margaret.
Yes.
It's Charlene. I just want to share with you, as I was tapping, I had my eyes closed, and all of a sudden, I saw this huge eagle, like the wingspans, like out soaring. And I was like, oh, my God, like I've never, like, seen that before. And that's what just, like, popped into my mind. So I thought that was pretty cool. I wanted to share it with you.
Yeah, that's a pretty powerful.
I love eagles.
Yeah, eagles a really powerful vision, right? That's really, really powerful. So good, nice. You can kind of Google the animal totem for eagle and read about it. It's pretty cool stuff. So good. Okay, so we're gonna do a positive round. Anybody else have a last comment on their anger?
Yeah, my anger just never had a target for me. I didn't know what to be angry about. I just knew I had this feeling, but it was like attached to nothing but unknown.
Yeah, and so recognize if you have the charismatic leader quality, your anger is your thing. You're going into battle with stuff all the time. And so you're the achiever, your work is around catching yourself in a pattern of self-judgment and tapping on it charismatic leader, it's about noticing your anger and tapping on it, because your anger, you will find things to battle with. You can't wait to battle as a charismatic leader, because you're all passion and fight. It's a warrior archetype. So your work lifelong is to notice your anger come up so that you can deal with it and tap on it, because it also means, I just went into battle with something, which means I'm about to self-sabotage. I'm either about to tap through my anger and get to ask myself, okay, what is this anger calling me to do in the present moment? Or I'm going to stay in battle and I'm going to bring on some kind of sabotage. Okay. Mm. When we're in battle, charismatic leader enforcers, when we're in battle, in that moment by law of attraction, guess what you're attracting to you? You're attracting betrayal. Okay? When you are in self-judgment as an achiever rule keeper, guess what you are attracting to yourself? People and circumstances who will leave you feeling disappointed. That's your word, disappointed. Okay, so law of attraction will respond to your defense, not just your light.
That is amazing. That is so true.
Could you say that second one again, please?
Well, that's just a mix.
Okay, so by law of attraction, right? Law of attraction is responding to your mix of your vibration. Right? And so when we're in our, what we call, what Rhys Thomas calls our defense around our profile. So when we're in our defense as a charismatic leader who's all passion and warrior and fight, which what makes somebody become a leader. When you're in your defense, you're in anger, for instance, when you feel anger come up or jealousy or the desire to strangle somebody with your words or with your hand. When you are in that mode, you've gone into battle. When you are in battle, by the law of attraction, you are lining up and attracting people, circumstances, everything you need to feel betrayed.
Wow.
It's all about betrayal for you, okay? When you are an achiever rule keeper and you are in your defense as a rule keeper, which means it's not how it should have been, I should have done better, they should have done better, I disappointed myself. When you are in that mode of looking at things rigidly and saying it's not how it should have been, there's no divinity here, you are actively by the law of attraction attracting to yourself and lining up people, circumstances, everything you need that will bring you to disappointment and feeling pretty much on your own again. Unsupported, on your own, and disappointed. Okay, so as we get into the week where we're going to talk about the goals, the week four, we're going to go through this in more detail again, because you're going to see how you go into defense around your goals. Okay, so the idea of tapping and the way that I do it is not just about clearing away negative emotions, it's bringing consciousness, right? It's bringing Eckhart Tolle home with you and sitting him down at your table and bringing presence and consciousness to that moment where I go, oh my God, I'm now observing just for an instant that I go into battle and I'm in it right now. So I have a choice. I can tap, or I can stay in battle for a few more days, because it's kind of fun to be in battle and sabotage something, or, you know, there's always a consequence to being in battle. Or I can be present in this moment and release my need to battle. Okay? The achievers, they go up in their head even more, so it's a thought pattern, which sometimes it's even harder to break, because you go to these thought patterns and you figure it all out. Plus, the achievers can be pretty hard to break because your thought pattern about self-judgment, you believe, is perfectly correct. You are totally right about it. So my achievers sometimes resist seeing when they go into judgmental patterns because they say, but Margaret, I'm right. Okay. So we're going to do a nice positive round, and then we'll have some time for some more questions. Okay, so So everyone can star six in Karate Chop Point. Even though my income still isn't enough.
Even though my income still isn't enough.
I'm totally open.
I'm totally open.
To the millions of ways.
To the millions of ways.
That money can show up for me.
That money can show up for me.
Even though my income isn't what I want it to be.
Even though my income isn't what I want it to be.
I recognize in the present moment.
I recognize in the present moment.
That I'm just looking at a result on paper.
That I'm just looking at a result on paper.
From my past.
From my past.
But in this present moment.
But in this present moment.
I am a powerful manifester.
I am a powerful manifester.
So I'm changing my vibration about money.
So I'm changing my vibration about money.
I am totally open to all the ways.
I am totally open to all the ways.
Money can start showing up for me.
Money can start showing up for me.
And everything I need.
And everything I need.
I'm now attracting to me.
I'm now attracting to me.
To allow more money into my life.
To allow more money into my life.
I'm now attracting ideas.
I'm now attracting ideas.
Inspiration.
Inspirations.
Actions.
Actions.
People.
People.
Circumstances.
Circumstances.
Anything I need.
Anything I need.
To allow money to show up for me.
To allow money to show up for me.
I'm opening up my vibration around money.
I'm opening up my vibration around money.
By saying one simple word.
By saying one simple word.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm now saying yes to money.
I'm now saying yes to money.
And tapping through the points. Looking at money used to make me angry.
Looking at money used to make me angry.
Or fearful and depressed.
Or fearful and depressed.
Now when I look at money, I just say yes.
Now when I look at money, I just say yes.
I actually love receiving money.
I actually love receiving money.
It's really fun to get money.
It's really fun to get money.
I actually am grateful for the money I have right now.
I actually am grateful for the money I have right now.
I'm now open.
I'm now open.
To receiving any kind of money.
To receiving any kind of money.
I'm saying yes to all sorts of forms of money.
I'm saying yes to all sorts of forms of money.
Cash, check, or charge.
Cash, check, or charge.
I'm saying yes to money.
I'm saying yes to money.
A whole new vibration about money.
A whole new vibration around money.
I'm letting go of fear and depression.
I'm letting go of fear and depression.
I'm letting go of shame and anger.
I'm letting go of shame and anger.
And I'm now allowing.
And I'm now allowing.
The real me.
The real me.
To resonate with money.
To resonate with money.
I really love money.
I really love money.
It's fun because I'm good at what I do.
It's fun because I'm good at what I do.
I really love earning money.
I really love earning money.
I love what I do.
I love what I do.
I am really good at it.
I am really good at it.
And now I'm open to receiving.
And now I'm open to receiving.
With one simple word.
With one simple word.
Yes to money.
Yes to money.
I'm saying yes to money.
I'm saying yes to money.
I'm going to say yes to money.
I'm going to say yes to money.
All day long.
All day long.
When I wake up in the morning.
When I wake up in the morning.
When I go to sleep.
When I go to sleep.
Yes to money.
Yes to money.
Even when I dream, I'm going to say yes to money.
Even when I dream, I'm going to say yes to money.
I love this vibration.
I love this vibration.
I love the vibration of receiving.
I love the vibration of receiving.
I'm now receiving and welcoming.
I'm now receiving and welcoming.
More money.
More money.
Into my home.
Into my home.
Into my business.
Into my business.
Right into my hands.
Right into my hands.
I'm so curious.
I'm so curious.
As to how it will show up.
As to how it will show up.
And I'm already feeling.
And I'm already feeling.
Excited.
Excited.
And grateful.
And grateful.
For more money showing up.
For more money showing up.
Yes to money.
Yes to money.
Thank you for money.
Thank you for money.
Open to receiving money.
Open to receiving money.
All the way through me.
All the way through me.
Mind, body, and soul.
Mind, body, and soul.
Money is an energy.
Money is an energy.
Like any energy.
Like any energy.
And now I'm saying yes to it.
And now I'm saying yes to it.
Okay, take a nice deep breath. Little bit different feeling about money. which vibration would you choose? The one at the beginning of the class or that one?
We need to transcribe this last one and maybe do it every day.
Yeah, one of the most powerful things you can do is turn off your negative money vibration and actually tap to saying yes to money. Okay, so absolutely what Akhmad just said is that we want to do the tapping. The weekly homework I have for you is two sets of specific tapping. The paradigm videos where I actually walk through your family paradigm again and have you do tapping on that. They're on my, if you Google me on YouTube, Margaret M. Lynch is my YouTube channel. You'll find all my videos there. There's a part one and a part two on your money paradigm. And secondly, tapping on your own on your specific vibration about money. Look at your income, look at your bills, and tap again tomorrow. And end it with this saying yes to money. I've done this for a long time, and I always hear the most crazy things that happen. Right? People get home from the group, and they've got a check that they didn't expect. Whenever I do that kind of tapping, that'll be the week that a whole bunch of clients pay me in cash, and it's like, oh, my God, I'm not used to having cash, and suddenly there's cash everywhere. It's just this weird phenomenon. But what a shift in the vibration. Okay, so I want you to look at your income and say it's not enough and see how it feels now when you say that statement.
It doesn't really matter. It just depends.
So it's neutral, right?
Yeah.
And then we want to move to the other side. We go from neutral to, I want more. Mm-hmm. Motivated.
I went from helpless to hopeful and to I expect it. A big mm-hmm. shift.
Good. So we're done with the tapping, and I'll stay on the line for another five or so. If anyone wants to have it, has any specific questions?
Barbara?
Or how that last round felt, yep.
This is Julie. It was awesome. This is your classes are amazing. But I find when I tap and, you know, with the positive, mm-hmm. that there's a disconnect between what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, and the pit of my stomach. And I want to feel that the more that I will tap, obviously, hopefully that disconnect will go away. But I feel the hopefulness on one aspect, but then again in the pit of my stomach, I feel what is, you know. I just want to know how to overcome that disconnect.
Yeah. So what you might want to try is when you is really, again, I know it's uncomfortable, but sit in that feeling of the pit in your stomach,
mm-hmm.
and tap without any words.
Okay.
Okay. Just feeling it, because sometimes we use the word dissociate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Especially if you're a creative idealist, you can leave your body instantaneously.
That's what I am. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you want to, if you're a creative idealist thinker, your defense is that you go into the thinker mode, which is you go up and you don't feel, you know, you dissociate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what you want to mix into your tapping is, and I so don't want to feel this.
Okay.
Whatever you're tapping on, mix in, and it's not safe to feel this. I don't want to feel this. I'm not going to be in my body right now. And keep sort of mix some of those statements in there, and it will actually shift you. Just tapping on that, strangely enough, will put you into your body. You know, you're afraid of that feeling, so you're moving your consciousness up. You know, do you get panic attacks?
I have in the past. I haven't recently. I think I get sadness attacks or more depression than panic.
Because the creative idealists will, because they leave their body so easily, they'll tend to be the people who get panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy thing for them, or even like epilepsy and things like that when they have trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So being in your body is your work. You know, your work, lifetime work as a creative idealist is first chakra work.
Mm-hmm.
It's being in your body so that you can take your unbelievable stream of brilliance and actually bring it down into the world.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, so your fear is going to be around being embodied, being in your body. If I'm in my body, something really bad is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you want to try mixing some of those words in there around the fear of actually being present in your body, and I so don't want to feel this right now.
Right.
I'm so not going there.
You have the best way of putting things. That's great. Thank you.
Hmm. Margaret? This is Andrea. Real quick, I'm the emotional intelligence and team player, most VIP and a little bit of the knowledgeable achiever thrown in kind of extravaganza. But I'm wondering, with that, how can I address my tapping on my love-hate relationship with money the best?
I'd have to probably talk to you a little bit more, but because you probably have charismatic leader in there, but you're
okay.
not seeing it likely. But when you tap on anger, do you tend to go to tears and get overwhelmed and break down, or does your anger sort of invigorate you?
Invigorates me.
Yeah. So you have – every charismatic leader has an emotional intelligence specialist built in, all right? But it's
okay.
very different than somebody who is an emotional intelligence specialist as their primary, because you feel your feelings really deeply. But a true emotional intelligence specialist, when they tap on anger, they only can get so much anger, and then it breaks to a deep, deep well of sobbing sadness. And some of my emotional intelligence maybe on the line can attest to. So you probably have a little more charismatic leader than you've ever been allowed to own.
Okay.
So I would try experimenting with just the anger, the way that we tapped on it, you know,
okay.
and tap on not only the anger the way we did it, but you can mix in words like, F this, I'm not letting this go. This is my story, and screw this, I'm not letting it go.
Okay.
Because they're just to see, you know, you recognize that you have a little bit of battle there about money, and it's hard to give up that battle, right? Remember, the charismatic leader looks like everybody. So when someone says, I'm all five or I'm definitely four, that means you're a charismatic leader because we're the chameleons. Okay. And there is nary a child on the planet that is allowed to be a charismatic leader as a child. So you have to learn to be something else when you're a child. Okay? Because a charismatic leader child is very rebellious and difficult.
Mm.
Okay, so they will learn how to play the team player in every other role because they can. Okay. A lot of knowledgeable achievers are also doing a world-class job pretending to be team players too. So it's not just you. Okay.
Well, What about a combo of achiever and creative idealist?
Yeah, that's a good combo. Sometimes it's a knowledgeable achiever can look like a creative idealist. They can be very close. Because a knowledgeable achiever, when they're really, really in their rule keeper, can look just like a thinker. Right. So I have to work with someone a little more and actually usually see their body and their physiology. Mm-hmm. When you look at a thinker, you literally look at them and you can tell their energy is like way off the top of their head somewhere. Their head's sort of off mm-hmm. to the side. They're tall and skinny often. They don't seem that present. When you look at a knowledgeable achiever, bam, right in the eyes, they have sized you up. They know your whole deal and what's up with you. Okay. Mm. Knowledgeable achiever is like, I see everybody in the room and I know what they know and I probably could do it better. So when I'm in person with people, it's easier for me to see their profile.
Mm-hmm.
A team player is a hugger. All they care about is what you care about and they're all about you. Okay. So if you've been a team player because you're trying to protect people, then that's your charismatic leader, being a team player.
Margaret?
Yes.
I've been angry this week thinking about, like, religion and how it messed me up and this kind of thing. So I thought, well, I'm a charismatic leader because I'm pissed. I've been real angry. So during this money thing, I
I got that I don't count because the way the money came in, and I wasn't angry at all. I've been just completely, like, absent. Like, I didn't really count. Like, all the anger was gone because I thought it would play into today's as well, this anger.
Yeah.
But it didn't, so I don't know what I am now. I didn't count.
So you weren't processing a lot of anger today?
No, I just went blank today. I thought, oh, okay. That really messed that up too. But when you said to see how you, I stood in the family, I didn't count because it's just like mother had these kids and we didn't make a difference. We were just there. So I don't know exactly how.
And so what's the feeling about that? We didn't count.
Well, it's just blank. Like I feel powerless.
Okay. Yeah, so where you might be at with it, if you have charismatic leader enforcer, is it's not even worth it for me to get angry about this. So
yep.
I'm so not going to feel this.
That's exactly how
right?
I felt.
So
yep.
Depression and powerlessness, that's the charismatic leader enforcer.
Oh, really? Wow.
Because depression is not about sadness, it's about anger.
Ooh.
Typically. Okay,
yeah.
It's like, I'm so not going to fight anymore. I'm not going to care anymore. So we depress everything because charismatic leaders have so much passion that if it has nowhere to go, it's really painful.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
So when we feel nothing or we feel hopeless or people say, I just feel despair, I make them tap on, even though I refuse to get angry about this, it's not worth it. It's just going to bring me more pain. And see where that gets you.
Oh, great. That sounds great. Thank you.
And again, the words of, because I ain't letting this go, I'm right. They
yeah.
wronged me,
yeah.
and that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The charismatic leader will go to great lengths to, quote, unquote, get even with their childhood.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's a second chakra vow to get even.
Yeah.
Margaret, what if you don't remember your childhood? Like, what if you don't remember exactly what your parents said about money or how they felt? Like, if they tried to kind of, I know that we grew up very poor, but I don't think my parents made it obvious in front of us.
Yeah, so it means you might have a little bit of vacuum there. It's some clients have this, like, we just didn't talk about it. So it depends, either maybe it's not as big of a charge or an issue for you, but it also can mean that you almost have no paradigm to go against. You have what you know, which was that you were poor, but it's not like they taught you how to be competent with money or how to manage money. So you might have a little bit of that, like, I just never learned how to deal with money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's how does that make you feel in the present moment? And some people say to me, I feel like my parents didn't teach me or they didn't prepare me. And sometimes it's just not your issue.
Okay.
Right? There's not a lot of charge there. It's not your issue. You want to look for anything else. Was there a sense, did you become aware as a child that even though they weren't talking about it, that you could sense it, and that was there a feeling of, guilt? Like, did you go, if I hadn't have been born, or boy, we kids, they're working so hard because of us kids. So you just want to see if there's anything in there that you recall being aware of.
Okay.
Or anything about your class, people like us don't, and there's people like them who have money.
Okay.
And particularly if there's any trauma that your parents went through that you were aware of, if there was a layoff or your father got screwed in a business or lost his job, anything that you witnessed, even if they didn't talk about it, you were taking it in.
I just have a hard time remembering anything at all.
Yeah, and so what do you think your profile is from the description?
I think I've pegged myself as a charismatic leader, but does that fit into something else?
Yeah, I mean, it's either the typically that kind of, I don't remember my childhood. It depends, was your childhood sort of medium or was there a lot of pain there?
I think it was fairly average, I think. I don't know. I don't remember a lot of it.
Yeah, so when there's not a lot of stuff that comes out of our, when our memories aren't really bright and clear, they're faded, which is kind of the more typical way of memory. It just means that there's not a lot of big trauma to attach to. But sometimes when we, growing up, if we had that charismatic leader, we look at our parents and we say, I'm going to do it differently than they did. Or an achiever will say, I so already have this figured out, and these people are clueless, and I'm so going to do it better. So when we have that, we will sort of write them, like write it off, like, nah, these people are clueless. Like, I don't really need any of this. It's a little bit, it's usually the achievers with their sort of, you know, six-year-old intelligence. They're incredibly intelligent, looking around at the people and going, yeah, these people are doing it wrong.
Okay.
Miss them. And so the memories aren't that important because they're like, yeah, I dismissed them.
Okay, cool. I like that.
Yeah, so it can be from an achiever or a charismatic leader to sort of dismiss those people because you're going to do something different, right?
Yeah, I don't want to be like them.
Yeah, and so again, when we go back to whether it's money or a different family paradigm, there's something, it's still defining you because you define yourself as not like them. So your first chakra is, I'm never going to be like them. Instead of, I'm just going to be me, it's, I have to not be them. Right? And so that's the problem with the, I'm never going to be like them.
Okay.
Because you're not actually getting to be free. So if it's not the money thing, then you want to do some tapping on your family's paradigm that you don't want to be anything like.
Gotcha.
Okay. Any last questions? Because I got to run, guys.
Excellent call. Thank you so much, Margaret.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
See you guys next week.
All right.